Green Visions, Green Ideas.
Welcome to today's podcast, where we dig into the topic of necessary fluids, or maybe they are not so necessary. We'll have a look into this. I welcome our guest Yogendra Kumar Mishra and Oliver Niebuhr.
Hello.
As always, we are grateful for the support of allgoodspeakers.com. Welcome, Yogendra. You're the first time in one of our podcasts. Thank you for coming. You are a professor at SDU.
Hi, Katharina. Thank you very much. And I'm very happy to be the part of this podcast. It's my pleasure and honor to be here and to talk about a topic which is very, very important for all of us. I am professor here in material science. I am doing a lot of activities related to material development, characterizations, and also I'm traveling quite often to many conferences and including traveling to my own country. So that topic fits very well to my expertise, I would say.
So, yes, so my second question would have been if you fly often, so this is obsolete. So, obviously, you have a lot of things to do around the world. You come from India, so you have a very international background and also international connections, right?
Indeed, we have many, and I have a lot of international connections in a large network, and we are trying to maintain via email, via talking, sometimes via talking over Zoom, and then when necessary, we are also trying to meet each other in conferences or on some central points.
Well, that's good. Yeah. But the reason why we take up this topic today is because we have actually a new policy at SDU that we should try to be as climate friendly as possible when we travel. And this includes in future that at SDU you need to consider whether your work-related trip is necessary, and if it is necessary, how it can be carried out in climate-friendly manner. And what do we actually talk about? I mean, sometimes you think you might have seen some statistics that flights do not feel very much in the overall exhaust of CO2. But especially for a university, this is a bit different. For example, in 2019, transport and especially air travel accounted for at SDU for 40%, almost 40% of SDU's greenhouse gas emissions, total greenhouse gas emissions. So this is a considerable amount. And because of Corona, this dropped down by 2/3. So we have 1/3 back compared to 2019, and we want to keep this at a low level and do not, like in other parts where in other categories of emissions where you have a lot of more activity now after Corona, we do not want to go back to this situation anymore. So what does it mean for a researcher like you two?
Thank you very much for opening this very important question. First of all, the climate neutrality or the CO2 emission came to my life, in my knowledge, very late. When I came to Denmark or in Germany, then I started thinking about. But it is very important to know it before. And then how much CO2 is going to be emitted per travel by air, by car, by truck or whatever, is really a significant amount. We never imagine CO2 in kilograms or tons. So this is a very important information for me and also for many like us who probably either they have not heard about or they are not thinking about. It is important to think about it. And then it goes to say Corona. That is at least something I could thank to Corona, that it was somehow helping us to realize, okay, we can reduce, we have to reduce travel, and that helped us. The number you gave about that we were reducing CO2 emission by 1/3, this was
two-thirds,
that is really, really good. And now we have learned that we could really make this possible by compromising our travels as much as possible.
And I actually think that the compromising is a very good keyword that you gave to me, because I've organized 3 conferences here at SDU in the last 2 years, and we have taken an effort to lower our CO2 emissions also in that context. I mean, when I was a PhD student or postdoc student, we basically, at a conference in those days, you basically had to take a flight. There was no way around it. But nowadays we have actually hybrid conferences, and it's getting more and more. And also the conferences that we have organized here in SDU were hybrid. It requires more workload of people, but the systems that are offered, and it's not just Zoom and Teams and all the kind of other video call software. There are also meeting tools, very interesting, good virtual meeting tools, where people can have still have a playful conference experience in exchange. And with the great support of the Carlsberg Foundation, we have actually used them and applied them. And in this way, for example, for one of the conferences last year, the Thai conference, Tone and Intonation 2021, we were able to have 80 participants online and about the same number on site. So it was a 50-50 share. That was very successful in giving people the possibility to join without them having to travel here.
Very nice. I would like to give you some background information. And if you choose, for example, to travel by air from Hamburg to San Francisco and back to Hamburg, that would exhaust about 5,000 kilograms CO2. That is corresponding to the same amount that when we shut up at our part of the university campus in Sønderborg, our warm water, we would save the same amount by washing hands only with cold water, for example. In India, a person can only have, has an average consumption of 1,600 kilograms CO2 and exhaust, I should say. And 1 year of car driving emits about 2,000 kilograms CO2. So this is just to have a comparison for your thoughts.
I would like to come back to the topic Oliver was mentioning, that there are definitely Corona was not good, but there are a few reasons that can be appreciated as well. The Corona was giving us a new challenge, how we should talk together, how we should meet together. And in this way, we developed very nice tools, mm-hmm. which are kind of mimicking the real conference in a very good way. And a lot of people were using it. So even there were old people who were probably not considering to use internet, they are now using these tools for a lot of good reasons and to avoid the trouble. So that at least can be definitely appreciated a lot. And indeed, if it is possible to make the things without meeting in person, by online or by discussion, why not? It should be done. And wherever necessary, this is not completely forbidden, but it is a kind of, say, compromise, which will help the environment a lot.
Yes, right. And I think it also meets the kind of researchers' needs, because actually our agenda is getting more and more crowded. And conferences need a lot of empty space in the calendar if you are traveling. But if you are participating virtually, you actually save time. So it is in some way more convenient. Of course, we do not have to completely cancel all on-site conferences. It will not be possible. People need to meet. But for example, I think that everybody of us can have about 50% of the conferences virtually and 50% with actual physical participation. That would definitely already be a big improvement.
Yes, I like especially your point in that you gain new possibilities, new freedom in deciding about your time. And if you really take a moment and think about which things are very important, where do you have to be present in person, and which other things you might be able to just do online and then also get the main points. That is very good, and I think that is very special also at universities, that people are willing to make these changes. So I hope also our listeners also get the thoughts and change in a way that they appreciate the new possibilities they get.
Yeah, the change is always transmitted from educational institutes to the society. We are the one who are kind of transferring information to the society. So if we adopt and pass on to those, then people will adopt slowly and slowly. That's how the general trend is into the society.
We have at SDU here only a very soft restriction. I mean, they emphasize that they wish people below 500 kilometers, they should take other means than a flight. But there is no obligation. And I think we could do as a university a bit better than that and give some incentives to the people that really are in the middle of saying, okay, maybe I take a flight or maybe not, and just give them the little bit of kick to change to take a train or do it online. So maybe if they could do a kind of awarding mails or highlighting people that managed to travel by flight less than the year before. The travel agencies know the data, and you can even personalize it for the person that managed to do best and highlight them. So why not? And this doesn't cost anything.
For me personally, at least, the biggest advantage of taking a train, and actually basically everything that is within 7 to 8 hours distance, I do definitely by train, because I can actually work in a train. I've always tried to work in a plane, and it never works out so nicely. So for me, actually taking the train is a big advantage, because I can be productive.
And it is very less stress to take the train, because you don't have to think about kilograms of the stuff. You don't have to think about the security and check-in, taking the cloth and shoes out and checking again, getting laptop. And sometimes you are also asked questions at the airport, what are you carrying?
So yes, and queuing in endless queues, and exactly.
This relaxes quite a lot, so I would also prefer train. You can put your things without stress. You can go in and work, and you can walk around whenever you like.
So and of course, some strong people, argument for train.
Yeah, of course, some people are having some kind of stress or what is the right word on the heights, going to the plane, always scared about kind of phobia of the heights.
The flight, yes.
Flight phobia, that also reduces.
These are all arguments for a train, that is right. I would have a wish to our university or to the government in general to allow people that work in public institutions to use first class. And even if they pay themselves, make it possible, because then we could work even better.
You mean
in the train?
Yes, in the train. Yes, exactly. This is definitely, this would be a huge advantage. Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah. And also, if I have a wish, I think it's especially the young scholars, the young PhD students, perhaps the early stage postdoc students, who need to build up a network. So they are the ones who need to travel and who also basically wish to travel. And we need to find software tools to somehow replace these things, at least to some degree. And I don't see these kind of things now. So I would call for more support to develop new tools for us to meet and to exchange beyond physical meetings.
Very nice closure of this podcast. I thank both of you and see you at the next with the next podcast, maybe.
Yeah, thank you very much for inviting me.
Thanks for having us.